It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host. Thank you for joining me this morning. There's so much going on in the world that it's hard to keep up on a daily basis, much less a weekly basis. So I have Kerry Luft with me. We've heard many times in the air the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation this morning, and McGraw, under Kerry's leadership in communications, is really driving conservation awareness across America and in other ways in the conservation world. So, Kerry, I guess it's literally, if you go a day without trying to keep track of what is happening, either it's at the Forest Service, it's the Department of Ag, it's the Department of Interior, it's personnel, you're out of date. And here it's been, you and I haven't talked now for over a month on the air about things that are occurring. And there's a lot of good, and there's some things we raise our eyebrows about, and there's some things you and I definitely don't like. So maybe we start, Kerry, with the most recent news, which will, if you're interested in wetlands and waterfowl, is going to be news that I think you're going to be quite alarmed by. But I also, Kerry, say this in the context of everything is moving and everything is changing, and it's not going to be the way it was in Washington and in funding. So thank you for joining me. I don't know an individual that is really keeping tabs on this from the perspective that you are and can summarize it. So where are we? First of all, starting with, I guess, the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, which has been vital to the conservation of wetlands and waterfowl since 1985. That just broke, I think, just maybe even Friday or Thursday night. Where are we with that, Kerry?
Well, let me put a couple caveats in all of this, okay? What I'm going to be talking about is what is in the president's proposed recommendations on discretionary funding for fiscal year 2026. The problem is that the release, which came out in early May, it's not specific. It doesn't name individual programs per se. It names areas. And you have to have a little bit of background and a little bit of suspicion to suss out what this means. But I can tell you there's enough in it that conservation NGOs are across the country are concerned, if not, they might not be panicking, but they're extremely concerned about what's in these proposals. And they touch almost every outdoor-related agency: agriculture, Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service, National Park Service, and Interior. And so it's very, very difficult to really put the dots together, but let me give you some highlights. One of the things that's definitely in for a cutting by name is the Natural Resource Conservation Service's Technical Assistance Program. And that gives farmers and landowners assistance in putting conservation measures on their land. I was speaking to a farmer I know well in South Dakota the other day, who is very active in the conservation community and has great experience in government. And he said, you know, without that program, most private landowners can't afford or do the work needed to deliver conservation on the landscape. So that's troubling, and I know that Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever are very concerned about the impact it will have on pheasants and quail populations. Another one, the one that you alluded to earlier, is listed under U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, state, tribal, and NGO conservation grant programs. And it says that these non-essential programs are wasting taxpayer dollars on species better managed by local or international interests. They're also duplicative of other federal programs in the USDA and Department of Commerce, as well as large amounts of mandatory funding available through the Land and Water Conservation Fund. That, if you know how NACA, the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, is structured, is precisely what they're talking about. That's in for a $170 million haircut if this goes through as planned. NACA is a tripartite funding mechanism to protect wetlands and, by extension, migratory birds. The vast majority comes out of the United States to go to Canada. The part that's missing in the budget is that it's a matching program. NGOs and other partners use those funds to leverage grants that are then put to work on the landscape. And since the passage of NACA more than 30 up on 40 years, not too far from now, more than 34 million acres have been protected or conserved in some way through these challenge grants. They are the means by which Ducks Unlimited Canada delivers conservation on the Canadian prairies. They have a lot of impact on this side of the border, and they are especially important in Mexico, because whether they should or shouldn't, the Canadian Mexican governments do not have the delivery means that we have in the U.S. with fish and wildlife. So these funds are essential to make conservation happen on the other sides of the border. So that's quite troubling if it goes through. And I also want to add that, you know, President Trump has said, and, you know, this is not a surprise to us, he believes that he was elected on a mandate to trim government spending. It's just, as always, Charlie, the devil is in the details, and I'm sure disappointed that these are some of the things that are deemed non-essential.
Well, we're visiting with Carrie Luft of the Maximum Crawl Wildlife Foundation. And Carrie, you and I spend a lot of time and know a lot of people who are deeply immersed in delivery of these conservation programs. And it strikes me that the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, NACA, is one of those programs that at the end of the day, it's got really strong bipartisan congressional support in both the House and Senate. But moreover, it's a program which could well be the model for how many federal programs are going to be delivered in the future, because it's truly a public-private partnership where the funds flow to a private entity, Ducks Unlimited, Audubon, Nature Conservancy, and many, many other partners, who then go and deliver these practices on the ground, and they deliver them in a way that is far more effective than if the federal government went out and tried to deliver these, or the Canadian Wildlife Service went out to deliver these. So I think as we, you know, as the curtain gets pulled back and you dive into this, I'm optimistic from the point of view that NACA will actually be held up as an example of how to more effectively have federal dollars spent, and a coming partnership between the federal government and private conservation organizations. Maybe I'm dreaming, Carrie, but I think that's the story of NACA. And also, due to your efforts and others, the story of NACA now is being well told, whereas just a few years ago, nobody was talking about what even NACA meant.
We can't afford to lose that money, Charlie. As you well know, we are in a race to protect the remaining wetlands that are so crucial, not just for birds, but for people around the world. They filter groundwater and replenish our aquifers. They sequester carbon from the sky. They not only provide habitat for migratory birds, but also mammals, raptors. They provide all sorts of benefit. They prevent erosion. They mitigate erosion. If we lose our wetlands, Charlie, and this is something that you and I have spent a lot of our careers working on, if we lose wetlands, we lose a lot more than just ducks flying overhead. And I hope the general public understands that.
Well, I think I'll boil it down to this, and you're absolutely right. And we're going to take a break when we come back. But Carrie, we lose our wetlands, we have lost life. There's without water, there is no life. And wetlands are the primary filters, at least in North America, of all of our water, flood control, soil erosion, air quality, all that's linked. But water is the basis of life, and our wetlands are the very foundation of that entire ecological structure. So without them, we're not having a conversation on WGN Radio because we're probably not here. So let's take a break on that happy note, Carrie. But maybe someone's listening and realizing that, in fact, the North American Wetlands Conservation Act is just one of many programs that is actually focused on the most essential part of our being. protecting our environment, in this case, protecting our water and our wetlands. And the fact that birds benefit is fabulous, but it goes much deeper than that. And when we come back, let's talk about a few more things that you picked up on that we should be thinking about and trying to figure out how we can maybe do them better. You're listening to Kerry Luft, who's with the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, and this is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me this morning. Kerry Luft is my guest, and we're talking about things that may or may not happen going forward as the federal government is reorganized. And obviously, here on the Great Outdoors Show, we do have a bias. The whole purpose of the show is to try to talk about things in the conservation and outdoor world, whether it's recreation, whether it's enjoyment of it, whether it's essential to our well-being and our life. So Kerry and I and many people in this world have spent our lives trying to make conservation at the forefront of what we think about in our overall existence as Americans. And Kerry, I think it is fair to say there's change coming. The question is, can some of the really good programs be maintained? Like anything, there is waste, particularly in the federal government and state governments, there's waste. But I would offer that when it comes to conservation, of all the entities and efforts that the federal government funds, there's less waste in conservation than there is in anything else I can think about. You don't find, you know, $10,000 toilets at the Department of Interior, at least not that I'm aware of. And it's because of the public-private partnerships that have built conservation, because conservation is really run by so many of the non-governmental organizations that are household names, from Audubon to Nature Conservancy to Ducks Unlimited, et cetera, working with the federal government. So there's a lot at stake here, but you have some other thoughts on areas that may or may not be going well for conservation. And so why don't you just tell me what's on your mind?
Well, I would start by saying, Charlie, that I firmly believe that conservation should not be a partisan issue. It should be a bipartisan issue. And historically, it has been. A Republican president passed the Clean Water Act and established the EPA, among other things. So it's disheartening to see it used as a partisan bludgeon. I am going to be the last to say that we can't improve or make programs more efficient. I could tell you that in the case of the Conservation Reserve Program, we could do a lot by shortening the lengths of the contracts for farmers, give them more flexibility for their land. We could change the way we pay payments to take cropland out of production. I think we should pay more for the worst soil, the soil that is in most danger, instead of paying the least. That would incentivize farmers to take more poor land out of production. Those are just two examples off the top of my head. But we're not really talking about efficiencies, at least not at this opening salvo of budget proposals. Again, President Trump was elected on what he believes is a mandate to slash government spending. And so we're not talking about finding efficiencies, Charlie. We're talking about zeroing out programs. In the Bureau of Land Management Conservation Programs, they're working to, and I quote from the document, reduce funds given to left-wing environmental nonprofits that work against the development of energy and mineral resources. Well, I don't know who specifically they're talking to, but it sounds an awful lot to me like the groups that opposed the Pebble Mine in Alaska, which would have decimated the world's premier sockeye salmon fishery. It also sounds like it's a shot at the people who are trying to prevent mining in the boundary waters between us and Canada. And when you see, it's disheartening, in my opinion, to see groups like this being described as left-wing, because, yes, there are left-wing environmental groups, but not all, you know, not all of the people who fought the Pebble Mine are traditional, quote-unquote, left-wing radicals. And the same goes for the boundary waters.
I got to say, for a moment, I'm chuckling, and some of you listening maybe as well. I would urge all of you listening to go to the Wild Salmon Center's website and have a look at the major donors of the Wild Salmon Center, and then go to the Republican Party website and have a look at the major donors to the Republican Party. You will see a surprising number of names at the top of the list on both of those lists, Kerry. So the idea 100%. That the idea that the opposition to the Pebble Mine is from left-wing extreme environmental groups shows no knowledge of how this has all come together and who, in fact, across the world is saying this mine is a terrible idea. So I interrupted you, but I'm just thinking of the irony here.
Right. But again, I have to make the caveat. I am surmising based on my careful reading of this budget proposal. It does not call out any group by name, and it does not refer to the Pebble Mine. But that is a very big example of how the conservation community and others stood up to a proposal that, yes, did limit mining mineral resources. Absolutely, it did. So if you want to call that left-wing environmentalism, okay, but it wasn't. It was bipartisan for sure. Let me not leave your listeners, Charlie, in complete despair. I want to take them off suicide watch. These budgets are opening salvos of what will be a very intricate process. And you know, I know Ducks Unlimited is working on this. I know Pheasants Forever will be working on this. I know that. Pheasants Forever will be testifying on Capitol Hill next week. These organizations have had long ties to lobby in Washington for programs that, yes, they benefit hunters and anglers, but they really benefit all of us. You know, taking erosion, you know, taking cropland out of production is not a bad thing if that cropland is subject to erosion. You know, one of the greatest environmental disasters we've ever had came out of was the Dust Bowl, and that was because we didn't pay attention to erosion and what happens when you lay out landscape bare. That's just one example, Charlie. It's my great hope that a coalition of conservation NGOs and interested individuals, which should be all of us, make their thoughts be known and to say, okay, we understand the need to save money, but can we be more surgical in our approach and see if we can't get efficiencies that don't materially damage years and years and years of progress to protect endangered ecosystems.
Very well said, Kerry. And on that note, we're going to end for the day. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your last comments are dead spot on, Kerry. Kerry Luff to the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.